Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six. Hey, homeschoolers. Today's show title is why you don't necessarily have to do more. I see homeschool mamas stressed and struggling because they think they have to do more, and I hope to put your mind at ease today. But first, I would like to invite you to buy my book, So You're Not Wonder Woman. In it, I share my inability to lose weight, get organized, and have healthy relationships with psychology. Only God was able to transform me into the Wonder Woman He created me to be. I hope you'll be inspired when you read it, like one reader who hauled out 6 bags of garbage in one day. You can find So You're Not Wonder Woman on Amazon. The teaching tip of the week is allinonehomeschool.com. If you need a free curriculum that is child-directed and doesn't ask for more than is required, I think you'll love it. It's a Christian curriculum taught through free resources available online. You could find these yourself, but the lesson planning has been done for you. While you can use it as a complete curriculum, you can also use it just for specific subjects. And yes, there is free curriculum available for high school too. The Organized Homeschool Challenge of the week is the Christmas Shopping Challenge. Let's take a little time to get organized so we can take advantage of Christmas sales. The first step is to make a gift shopping list. I'll admit that I get a little excited when I see things on sale, sometimes to the point that I buy things I don't need. Before we start our search for deals, let's make a list of exactly what we need for gifts. Use your Christmas planner that you picked out in the Christmas Plan Challenge. What gifts do you need for immediate family, extended family, homeschool friends, groups, and teachers, church friends, groups, and teachers, mail carriers, your hairdresser or other service providers, or for charity? Step number 2, make clothing and an other shopping list. Now we're ready to make a list of clothing needed for the holidays, but don't limit yourself to that. This is the time of year to buy any type of clothing. Many stores have summer clothes on sale as well, so shop now for next year. This is also a great time to purchase other items you know you will need in the coming year. Is your computer nearing the end of its life? Buy one now on sale so you're prepared. Are there any non-perishables you need for holiday baking and cooking? Add them to the list and avoid the long lines. Step number 3, research flyers and sites. Is your mailbox full of catalogs? If you don't have any gift needs that can be met by a particular catalog, recycle it right away so you're not tempted. Do the same with sales flyers that come with the newspaper if you get it. If you do find something you need on sale, add the particular sale price information and any coupons to your planner so you can compare. I'm not one to shop the stores on Thanksgiving and Black Friday, but I love to shop online. When it comes to clothing for myself, I purchase most of my clothing this time of year. I usually order only from stores that have a physical location nearby. It makes returns much less of a hassle. Check out your favorite websites for deals and check out bfads.net. This website does a great job of sharing the best deals. I also love to check Amazon's lightning deals at this time of year. I highly recommend you start your online shopping with ebates.com. Doing so can earn you significant cash back. Just set up an account and click on the store of your choice. Shop as usual and get money back. Step number 4, add sale dates to your calendar. Once you know where you want to shop and for what, it's time to add the days and times to your calendar. I like to set reminders on my iPhone for lightning deals. The great news is the window for getting good deals has expanded greatly. Gone are the days when you had to sit by the computer on Thanksgiving night waiting for the clock to read midnight. Happy shopping. Now for why you don't necessarily have to do more. Of course, I don't know what you're actually doing. If you aren't giving your kids an adequate education, you may need to do more. But most homeschool teachers take on too much, not too little. They're stretched to the breaking point, and they wonder if they can keep homeschooling. If that's you, I want to give you three reasons you don't have to do more. First, you don't have to do more to keep up with other homeschoolers. I loved a recent article by Sarah McKenzie called "Why I'm No Homeschool Superstar." Find the link in the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/no more. Sarah says she doesn't like the glue and glitter thing, even though Pinterest moms make it look like so much fun. There's honestly something about glue and glitter that makes my skin crawl. Even if everyone you know is doing crafts, it doesn't mean that you have to do it. Even if everyone has a foreign language tutor or has her kids in 5 different activities, you don't have to. I've already clued you in to how I feel about crafts, but you should know that I've been a failure at foreign language too. Despite that, my son taught himself Spanish because he was super motivated. I hope to interview him for a future podcast because of the approach he used to become fluent quickly. Note that his language skills didn't require me doing more. When I had babies and toddlers, I had the older kids in very few activities. I stayed home most of the time because it was just too hard on me. But my kids have never complained, and they're very active today. You also don't have to do more to keep up with other people because they're probably not doing everything they say they are. I've seen read-aloud lists for homeschool families online, and I know there is no way they could read all those books out loud and do everything else. Here's reality. I read 5 books aloud for school that go with our history curriculum. I usually read just 1 chapter a day, unless the kids beg for more. I also ask the kids to read just 5 books a year in addition to any leisure reading they want to do. Can you believe it? Even if you're comparing yourself to people who really are doing everything they say they are, know that they probably don't have the lifestyle you want. They have to be shortchanging areas that you wouldn't dream of neglecting, like sleep, for example. I homeschool to have freedom, not to be enslaved to keeping up with homeschool superstars. We are free not to do more because trying to keep up just isn't worth it. The second reason you don't have to do more is to compensate. Some homeschool moms feel they are inadequate in a subject or two. One tendency is to give their child the most challenging curriculum they can find in that subject to be sure that he doesn't fall behind like she did. The problem with that approach is twofold. First, your insecurity about the subject will be magnified because you still won't understand it using a tough curriculum. And second, your child will hate the subject because challenging curriculum is often as boring as it is hard. Instead of choosing the toughest program, choose one that makes sense to you, that can teach you the material. Your enthusiasm will be communicated to your child, who will probably learn to love the subject. Another way that homeschool moms tend to compensate is if they work. I did a podcast episode on working and homeschooling. If mom can't be with the kids some days and someone else is teaching them who can't run them to activities, mom will sometimes use her days off to play taxi. What kids want most, more than they want lots of outside activities, is time with mom. Especially time with mom when she's relaxed and happy. You don't have to compensate your kids with more activities, and you don't have to compensate for your weakness in a subject with a really tough curriculum. The third reason you don't have to do more is because it isn't required for your child to succeed. This reason incorporates the first two. We may think because we see other families using two math curricula or doing Latin and spelling and computer programming that we have to too. We may think that because we didn't do well in a subject that we have to have our child do every single lesson in the book. Most curricula include many more exercises than are required for most students to achieve mastery. These exercises are included to help students who need more practice. However, a student who isn't understanding a concept in the first 20 exercises won't understand it with another 20. The student needs to be taught in a different way to master the material. The other reason many exercises are included is to be time-consuming, so the teacher can do other things. That's helpful for classroom teachers, but homeschoolers shouldn't need that. If your child finishes early, there are so many things she can do to indulge her interests. This is when an unschooling approach is useful for any child. Requiring her to do exercises that aren't teaching her anything can discourage her. I have often had my kids do half the exercises in a book. With older, mature students, I have had them do as many exercises as they need to do to feel they've mastered a subject. I also choose curriculum like Life of Fred Math that doesn't drill and kill. I don't add supplementary curriculum to it, and my two sons who have taken the ACT haven't had difficulty with the math section. I often strip curriculum down to its bare bones. For example, I don't use the whole English from the roots up curriculum. I just use the flashcards. I don't teach Latin, preferring instead to teach Latin word roots through the cards. I don't do the activities for Mystery of History. I don't use a separate vocabulary and spelling curriculum. I hope you're not horrified. My oldest sons are getting A's in their college coursework, so I couldn't have messed up too horribly. I don't tell you what I'm doing to prescribe what you should do in your homeschools. We all have a different approach and different learning needs to teach to. But I do recommend that you determine the most effective curricula and the most vital parts of them for your family and do less, not more. Doing less allows you to keep your kids excited about learning, gives you margin in your day, and makes room for your children to explore their own interests. This week's Periscope viewer tips are from Jessica at Jane Girl. She says the priority for their family is church right now, and maybe they will do sports later. You can find out more about Jessica at manyhandsmom.wordpress.com. Linda Lee, her handle is at Linda Lee at Heart, says her kids are just 6 and 2. She isn't doing many field trips until her kids are older. Sarita said her son was having a hard time reading, so she set everything else aside to help him with it and build his confidence. January said that she abandoned parts of their curriculum and spread out the work over the summer. Lara Marriott agreed on the need to cut back on activities. Thanks so much to my Periscope viewers for these tips. This week's action steps are: pray about why you feel the need to do more. Talk to a veteran homeschool mom whose homeschooling and lifestyle you admire and ask her what she thinks of your plan. If she suggests you do less, give it a try and see how you and your children respond. If you're happy with the changes, let me know. I'd love to hear about it at psychowith6@gmail.com or comment on the post at homeschoolsanity.com/no more. Next week, I'll be interviewing my oldest son about homeschooling, public school, and college. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss it. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.